Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Deborah Wilhelm, a professor of homiletics and co-author of Preachin' Matters, a Praxis for Preachers. Deborah lives in Oregon, and her preaching is entitled Grandparents and Crackerjacks.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord. Remember Cracker Jacks? Those boxes of caramel corn and peanuts were a big deal to my younger brother Tim and me, and our grandparents would bring Cracker Jacks each time they came to visit. Every box had a prize near the bottom, and for little kids, these prizes were awesome. A temporary tattoo that you licked and stuck on your arm, for example, or a ring with a green plastic jewel, or maybe a 2x2-inch book of hilarious riddles. Munching on caramel corn and looking for the prize, we would just be in heaven. Well, one time, my heaven was extra heavenly, because in my box of Cracker Jacks, I found two prizes, a miniature magnifying glass and a yellow plastic whistle. Well, you can probably guess where this is going, because every time Grandpa and Grandma came to visit after that, I grabbed my box of Cracker Jacks right away and dug in immediately, eager for another two-prize box. I'd think to myself, "Okay, Deb, eat fast. Find that prize. Don't break it. Don't drop it on the floor. Oh, I hope it's a necklace and a ring." And I ate my way down to the bottom without ever again, of course, finding more than one book of riddles or one glow-in-the-dark star sticker. And as you've also guessed, I didn't enjoy the caramel corn the way I did before, since, well, I was the one actually being eaten by my desire for that undeserved extra prize. Lack of gratitude, selfish desire, self-centered interior conversation. So, let's all have a moment of sympathy here for the rich fool in our gospel today. I'd like to focus our attention on a couple of details in the story. First, notice that this guy's already rich. He has plenty. He's thinking about tearing down perfectly good barns to store his excess. And second, notice that the rich man's entire conversation is with himself. Just as I coached myself through the great Cracker Jack extra prize search, this rich man has an interior dialogue that's all focused on him. It's an unvarnished look at what we really think before we nuance our words to make our actions sound better, because you know that this guy is not going to report the thought process that way around town. Like Jesus' other parables, this story is a little tricky for Jesus' hearers and for us. After all, Jesus' listeners were poor. So they could, right from the beginning, dislike this guy, mock his foolishness, all while being able to say, good thing we're not like that. We're poor. But keep in mind that Jesus has just cautioned them and us against all kinds of greed, not just obvious money grubbing or power mongering like the rich man's, although he definitely means that too. He's talking about any kind of holding on to what isn't ours. For many of us, this holding on might be subtle, holding on to the need to be right in every family argument, or the need to win in every conversation, one-upping someone else's small victory at work, making sure that your illness sounds way worse than another person's illness, or your children's achievements way superior to your friend's children's achievements. Maybe it's having a stranglehold on your social media so that you can hold on to your self-image of being someone who's in control of life. Or you're holding on to your desire for that next drink, next flirtation, next honor. Whatever we're holding on to might seem to offer security, but really, it just creates that interior monologue with that self-justifying inner voice. And the problem, as you already know, is that nothing we hold on to is actually ours. Everything, even the breath that you drew just now, is God's gift to you. To be rich toward God, as the scripture says, is to understand that. That's why at the end of this parable, God breaks into the rich man's self-serving monologue. So here's the question we could ask. Where is God trying to break into my interior monologue? To show me that I'm already rich. Because everyone, life is clearly not a box of Cracker Jacks. But it is similar in one way, that it's a gift from a beloved giver, and that the actual prize is the one who gives. Thank you.